You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Arguably the best performing sector of 2025 is the resources sector. At some stage, this sector was up more than 130 to 150%. We are still up more than 100% in terms of year-to-date performance, and that has really driven the performance of the South African All Share Index as well as the Top 40. We're going to be taking a look at the resources sector and the mining sector in a bit more detail, and who better to do this with than the Director of Mining at Modern Corporate Solutions, also our resident mining expert, Peter Major. He joins me on the line now to see what we make of the performance of the resources sector. Uncle Peter, lovely having you on the show. Thanks so much for taking the time. Certainly stand out would be one way to describe the performance of the sector, but I think that wouldn't be doing it justice considering just how hot it has run in 2025. Your thoughts on the performance of the mining sector and the resources sector over the year?
Well, Jimmy, standout is not over the top, because as we've seen on these precious metal shares, they have gone up multiples. You know, it makes amateurs out of people who talk, oh, we went up 20, 30, 40%. Some of these mining stocks have gone up 3, 4, 500%, and deservedly so. No one's seen a gold price run like this. We had something close back in 79, 80, but who can remember that far back? You know, there's not many people other than me that are that old to remember it. And we've had a repeat of that plus. What's sad is we haven't been able to benefit, whereas back in the 70s, we fully benefited from it. We had 60-plus mining companies, 60-plus gold mining companies. We had almost 800,000 men employed in gold mining. And so they were the recipients of that. The government received more money from just the gold mines, and I think they did all the mining put together. And the other mining did well, too, back then, just as it's done now. But this has been a precious metal run. It's been led and dominated by gold. The PGMs have been sucked into the slipstream, we can say, and they've pulled up pretty well. But it's been a gold share, gold price performance.
Now, Peter, when we look at the performances of mining companies and when we look at commodity runs, they seldom run for a limited period of time. And I guess people then start to ask the question, okay, if we've run this hard in one single year, does that then mean that the run will then be shortened? Does that then mean that we won't run further going into the new year? And we know that markets can often surprise us, as they did this year in performances. Do you think that the current rally that we've seen across all of the precious metals is a sustainable one? What would some of the factors be around this current rally that could potentially lead us to think that it could be sustainable?
If I had the patience, I could go back and recheck all the statistics. What happens usually in December, January, February? But my memory and experience is most Decembers are pretty good. And almost all January, February, Marches are good. People don't want to have bad news in December. I can hardly ever remember having a market come down in December. It's like the markets run, it's created and run by humans. And human nature is people would rather err on the optimistic side. So there's a really good chance what we see now is going to carry all over into January, February, March. We've also heard the saying, sell in May and go away. And I would say roughly, that's correct at least two-thirds of the time. And one of the reasons it's correct is you've had this extended run go from December, January, February, March. Guys are getting a little tired, a little wary. Reality is starting to come into it about April. So it does make sense if you've had a great run the first 4 months of the year, take money off the table, hedge it, diversify. But because we've had a strong run, like you said, Jimmy, this thing has gone straight up virtually this whole year. Okay, the peak was in late October, so we've had a month of gold going sideways. And I literally mean sideways. If the high was 43.80 and we're currently 42.20, you know, what is that down? 3%? That's almost nothing for a gold price that's gone up 60-some percent. And look at the other metals. Platinum, you know, it's gone up 50%, I think, this year. Palladium, probably doubled. Rhodium's almost doubled, I think. So these are strong performances, but yes, I think they'll carry into at least January, February.
Peter, let's take a look at the performance of other sectors around the world when we are in this current space that we're in on the mining and resources sector in South Africa. You almost can't compare it to anything that's happened domestically over the last year. And so we look to international markets. Have any other markets performed even nearly as well over this year, considering all of the geopolitical challenges markets have had to contend with?
Boy, anybody who's heard of AI knows what anything related, any share related to AI has certainly kept up with gold. Have some of them beat the golds? I'm sure there's a couple that have, but AI has dominated the S&P. The S&P index is probably 70% of world market cap, you know, an unbelievably large number because the world is a big, large place. The world has a lot of stock markets, the Chinese, the Japanese, the European markets. So to think the United States S&P is 70% of the whole world, it's mind-boggling. And funny enough, even though we see all these mining shares go up close because this is a mining country, it barely registers in the world. And yes, the big mining companies, the big gold mining companies like Barrick and Newmont, yeah, they've doubled this year and they're behemoths compared to ours. Ours are almost dwarfs compared to them, but they're all dwarfs compared to the IT and the artificial intelligence and those related companies. Those things we see, they've got what, 3 and 4 trillion market caps. And I think if you add all the gold shares together, I don't know if you've got a half a trillion market cap. So we are puny. And it's funny, the world just has turned off commodities. They've never been hotter, especially the precious metals, but it's a different generation. And the world just, it discounts these as parking meter change. The real show is in all the new modern, new era type businesses and services. And maybe that's good. Maybe it means we're not such a bubble because we're just taking up a small cap of all the money on the stock exchange. But our market, our Aussie, has kept up with the S&P this year. In fact, I think we've gained maybe 8-9%. So we've been very, very cheap compared to the S&P for the last few years, and we've gained 8-9%, but we're still looking pretty cheap to it. I think we're a lot safer being here, a more diversified index than this S&P 500 that's dominated by seven behemoths.
If you're just tuning in, we are in a conversation with the Director of Mining at Modern Corporate Solutions, Peter Major. We're taking a look at the performance of the mining sector over the 2025 year and perhaps trying to see if 2026 could hold more positivity in that space. Uncle Peter, you touched on the fact that the performance, as great as it is significantly smaller than some other international performances and international markets. The question then becomes, if we're going into the 2026 year still on this wave of optimism from an investment standpoint, where should investors then be looking at for opportunities? We know that it's often the case that some of these markets might retrace, we might see some market corrections, and that's not limited to any one sector. But how do you then start to approach this sector or investing in this sector if you want exposure to it, understanding that a new year could potentially bring new opportunities?
Yeah, that's true. Where do we go? You know, the starting point is usually what hasn't run, what looks cheap on a price relative basis, on a discount to NAV, on a PE basis. Well, with the standouts that look cheap, they're what we used to call the mining houses, the mining diversifieds. But they're not really as diversified as they used to be. We've seen all the big mining houses broken up, unbundle. They say we're focusing, and now they're actually so dull and boring. If you look at Billiton and Anglo's, they barely have four commodities in there. And it's kind of sad that they want to reduce themselves to as few as three commodities. I think Rio Tinto's talking about it went 70% in copper. You know, Anglo's with tech, 70% of them. So they're really turning into a copper share. They're not the traditional mining house that had a broad range of diversification. Then you were safer, I think. Because of that diversification, you were safer. They paid good dividends. And if their precious metal component hold them down a bit, their base metal component or their iron or their coal, or sometimes even their industrial base would counter that out. But yeah, we don't have real diversified companies anymore. So that the individual investor, he has to know if he wants diversification, he's got to do it himself. You can't just buy a mining house that has, say, 10, 12 sources of income. You can buy Exaro. You know, it gets iron ore income. It gets coal income. And now it's got manganese income. And they talk about, oh, we're going to get income from windmills, maybe solar panels. But that remains to be seen. You can buy African Rainbow Minerals. Same story, though. You've got a much narrower diversification here. So that means an investor, he's going to have to find a portfolio manager if he doesn't want to do it himself. Or he's got to say, hey, I believe in precious metals. I know they've run 300, 400%, but I believe in them. I'm going to put them away. Well, he's taking that risk. He's making that decision. But yeah, as a fund manager, I'd be looking at what moved the least, and I'd at least start there. Doesn't mean iron ore is going to go up or coal's going to go up much more, and that's why those big diversifieds have actually come down, because iron ore and coal prices are at four-year lows now and could go a little lower.
Uncle Peter, I want to stick with the diversifieds conversation for a second. We've seen a lot of companies shift their focus. We know the likes of Harmony in South Africa have gone out to Australia and acquired copper mines there. The likes of Anglo American, after the BHP bid attempts, have gone out and acquired copper mines through Canada into South America as well. I want to get your thoughts around that pattern that we're seeing from mining houses themselves saying, maybe for years we'd been a one-stop shop or a one-trick kind of pony, and this time around, perhaps for hedging against these downside risks that you mentioned, for guarding against these lower prices in some of the metals, could this be the future of what a mining house should look like going forward? Is this the smart way to go, or are we still finding that concentrated miners still offer the same level of value?
No, I think what you said just previously is correct. They are looking to diversify, and it's smart that they're doing that. What isn't so smart is if you're diversifying because your commodity, your company has run so hard that you're wary of it coming off and you want to lock in some of that return, you don't necessarily want to take that money and buy another sector that's run almost as hard. And we're seeing this on the copper side. We saw this very much at Anglo American when Tony Traer looked like he was a little slow. He'd missed the big run up on commodities in 2006. And Cynthia Carroll was brought in, and she felt this huge pressure to go out and buy things. And I remember Cynthia telling us, gee, we're getting incredible prices for some of our coal properties we barely bought a year or two ago. You're getting 50% more. You know, what a return. But conversely, she was paying double for iron ore that had also run up. So that's the worry, for, in my view, is Harmony's buying copper assets, but are they getting them cheap? You know, or are they paying top of the market prices for these copper assets? Because the copper price is now $5.20 a pound, you know, almost $11,000 a ton. Not as crazy as gold, but these are literally the highest in nominal term prices we've ever seen. And even in real terms, these are pretty high. These are standard deviation above a mean. So, yeah, I'm wary that, is that the best they can do? Is you diversify some of your high-priced equity and some of these magnificent earnings, whereas the traditional gold mine model in South Africa was you paid all those earnings out. You kept enough for capex that would keep you alive, but back then our mines weren't really expanding outside their mineral leases. But at least the shareholders were getting a return on these magnificent runs. So when you added average growth in capital over 10, 20 years of the gold shares, and it was only maybe 2-3%, but you could add a 9-10% dividend, gee, they were giving you an overall return of 13%, which was even beating the all share. So it's good they're diversifying, and they're using, are they using these earnings wisely? Or are they putting in something that's just as high priced and could come down just as hard? That's a concern.
Uncle Peter, before I let you go, one last thought around the concerns going into 2026. Is there anything about the mining sector that has you worried or that has you slightly nervous at the moment, considering how hot it's run, considering all of the other factors that we've discussed? Is there anything you'd be a bit cautious about as you approach the new year?
Yeah, I'm very reluctant to buy our gold shares at these levels. I think even the platinum shares are looking rich, but the gold shares are looking very rich. And my word of caution is management. Can management just calm down and not panic and think long and hard what they're doing with these unbelievable earnings that are coming through? And I would ask the same of government. Don't panic and start putting in extra legislation like we've seen in Zimbabwe now. They're all of a sudden putting in an extra royalty on gold mines. They're calling it supernatural profits. Geez. You've had an industry that's battled for years and years, often running losses. You know, give them a year or two in the pound seats. Don't start changing regulations because you think these prices are going to last. And mine captains should not change their investment thinking just because of these high prices and run out and buy things that they haven't well researched, that they haven't thought of buying before, or that are as expensive as their own shares. Yeah, it's just caution. Just be cautious here. And I would encourage them, pay a lot of that money out to shareholders. They've borne the brunt of these lean years. They deserve it.
Shareholders deserve to reap the benefits of their investments, especially when markets have performed as well as they have. We're going to 2026 with hope and optimism, but still with an air of caution. We'll leave the conversation on that note. Thank you so much to Peter Major, the Director for Mining at Modern Corporate Solutions, joining us to take a look at the performance of South Africa's mining sector, the global mining sector, as well as what we make of it going into the new calendar year.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.